You are now listening to an audio broadcast from First International Christian Fellowship. Get plugged in by visiting our website, ficfreno.com.
Father, we thank you for this day, Lord God, that you've given us to again worship you and praise you and learn more about you, Father. In this place, in this church that you have placed all of us to be a part of, Lord God. Father, may you bless all the birthday celebrants this month, this week, Lord. I pray that you give them all their needs and their wants, Father. I pray that you continue to grow in their hearts as they continue to grow in their relationship with you. I pray for everyone that's here tonight, Lord God. May you open the eyes of their hearts, all of our hearts, Lord God, as you speak through me and teach all of us, Lord God, what you want us to know. And Father, may you please override my preparation, Lord God, and let you and you alone speak to your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, Happy New Year. Praise God. It's another year, and this is the first Sunday of the year. So if you are trying to get a perfect attendance for the year, this is a good start, right? So you're having a good start. It's a good start. You got that check right there tonight. Amen. It's not like you're losing your salvation when you don't come to church, but if you're trying to have a perfect attendance, this is a good start for you. So praise God. May God bless you and continue to reveal himself to you, because that's our goal, right? In this church, our goal is to know Christ, to become like him, and to make him known. Because there's no way, as you become like him, that you're not going to make him known. And there's no way that you are not going to become like him once you got to know him. Amen? It goes hand in hand. So we titled our message tonight, Pray. Pray. So it's on our New Year, New Life, Part 2. I thought I was going to jump into the next journey. I've been talking to Brother Richard and Gab, and which journey we were going to take. Is it 2 Corinthians or is it Philippians? So I've been praying. I've been reading both books and their introduction and trying to ask God what he wants. And there's just been this big blockage where it's not happening on both books. Although they're both interesting. And then this morning, God wanted us to talk about prayer. So please turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 22, verses 42 to 46. If you are there, please say amen. Amen. All right. Here's the saying. See, I tried to Google this, and there's a debate if it's Benjamin Franklin who said this or another person. So let's forget who said it, okay? But the saying is nice. It says, if you fail to plan, you are planning to fail. Do you agree? Some of you guys are looking at me like, what? What's going on? We're starting the message. We start with this one. If you fail to plan, you're planning to fail. Because frankly, in everything, whether at work, with your children, and with our spiritual life, if you don't have a plan, you are actually planning to fail. Amen? Like if you were going to go to a trip, you make plans how to go to a trip. I don't care how big of a procrastinator you are, that last minute you're making a plan. Do we agree? So it's the same thing tonight. What we're going to be talking tonight, what God wants us to talk about, it's not your New Year's resolution, but more about the new year, the new life. What is it that you need to do? Hopefully, if you're already doing it, then this will affirm you tonight. But if you haven't done so, if you haven't made a plan on how to approach your Christian life now, your spiritual life this coming year, on how you're going to be successful in trying to become like Christ, or trying to know Christ, tonight, hopefully, God will give you that direction. And he wants us to start with this, in praying. First point is we follow Christ's example. We have to be prayerful. If you are a believer, this is one of the most important practices that you need to do. Amen? How's your prayer life, believer? How's your prayer life? Now, I get it. It's not the amount of words. It's the sincerity of your prayer. But are you only sincere when you're already in trouble? Are those the kind of sincere prayers that you're saying? The short and sincere ones, like when you're sliding on ice when you're driving. Oh, Lord, help me. That's a sincere prayer and a short prayer. Yes, that's counted as a sincere short prayer. Are those the kind of prayers that you only say? You have to wait until you're in trouble? Sadly, most of us, it takes trouble to bring us to a sincere talk with our Father. That's sad, isn't it? So this year, hopefully this message gives you a plan on how to approach your life, your spiritual life, to be now successful and not be defeated. Amen? So we start with prayer. We look at this. Then he withdrew, talking about Jesus, from them about a stone's throw, knelt down, and began to pray. Jesus, our Lord, knew what was coming. He knew trouble was coming for him. He told his disciples prior to this. And he told his disciples to pray too. Because he knew trouble was coming. Make no mistake about it. Jesus told us to pray. Paul tells us to pray. We are told to pray. Because in this life you will have trouble. Right? Do you need trouble before you pray? Unfortunately, for some of us, that's what we need. Right? Because that's how stubborn we are. And then we wonder why our spiritual life is not improving. And we wonder why we're still stagnant. We wonder why we don't produce fruit. It starts with prayer. You need to be prayerful. Even to read your Bible, you need to pray before you read your Bible. Because there's attacks. A million ways the enemy will attack you because he doesn't want you to learn this. If you tried to read your Bible, you know what I'm talking about. Some of you fall asleep at the moment you open it. Right? And then you have an insomnia and you're like, oh, wait, where's my Bible? That always worked before. Right? We need to be prayerful. We need to follow Christ's example to be prayerful. If the Son of God took time to pray, how about you? What's your excuse? I'm too busy. You don't know my schedule. Right, good. I'll be praying for you. Because you need to be praying. Because once you're in trouble, all busyness goes down the drain. Correct? When you're in trouble, you have all the time in the world to pray. Correct? Amen. But when we're not in trouble, we're always on Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat, and everything else, right? We're cleaning our car, doing our oil change. We're doing everything else that is seems to be more important than praying to our God. My brother-in-law, he's going to hate me for this. My brother-in-law recently has an interest on a girl. And last New Year's Eve, he withdrew from us during the party. And he went to our room. And he was there for 2 hours talking to this girl that's in the Philippines. 2 hours. Because he's interested in the girl. He's feeling something in his heart that he can't help himself but the need to talk to that girl. Now, for the couples that have been married here for quite some time, do you remember that? You've probably forgotten that, right? The long, intimate conversations when you guys were still really interested with each other. Now it's just like, hi, hello, bye. Yeah. Why are you still here? Don't you have work today? Those are the conversations. If you've been married for 7 years, those are the conversations, right? 3 years, I think, or maybe one, I don't know. If you are in love with someone, if you are highly interested with someone or to something, you take your time. You spend time to either talk, to read, to learn about that person or that something. Why pray? Why pray? So it's a stupid question, right? Like, stupid question from the pastor, number one. First stupid question, why pray? Of course you need to pray. So how's your prayer life? How's your prayer life? How sincere are your prayers then? How often do you pray then? If you say, that's a stupid question, pastor. Of course we need to pray. Look, when he rose up, speaking about Jesus, from prayer and had come to his disciples, he found them sleeping from sorrow. Then he said to them, why do you sleep? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation. This is why we need to pray. We need to pray because the temptation is great, right? The flesh, the spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak. Because our lives, because the enemy is out there, he wants us to fall. Once you've become a believer, you can't lose your salvation, but the enemy will do all in all his power to make you stumble in order to discourage you to be useful for God. That's first. Second, in order to use you as a stumbling block to the second person that's supposed to be looking at you on his way to Christ. So how often do you pray? How much do you pray? How sincere are your prayers? How was your prayer life back in 2017? That was last year. This year, my prayer is, I hope that it'll be your prayer, that you'll be prayerful, that you will spend more time with God. You will spend more time talking to Him. Because we know, again, if you were, again, it's a perfect. If you're married, I think you have a very good chance in being in the ministry because you have all the practices in the world. Being married, right? Because how would you feel if your spouse doesn't take the time to talk to you? That's where trouble hits for some households. You don't even call me anymore. We don't even talk anymore. The Water Runs Dry by Boyz II Men. Have you heard that? I'm not going to sing it. It says here, insanity is described as doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. That's insanity. Believer, if you think all these years you're wondering, why is my life still here with Christ? Why has my walk with Christ still here in the bottom? Why has it not improved? For some of you, you're just wandering Christians. I don't know where my life is with Him. I just know I'm with Him. That's good that you're with Him, but you don't even know where you are. It's good to reflect this year where you are, specifically in your prayer life with Him. Because that's when you spend time with Him, other than reading His Word. How often do you pray? And are you not going to change? You need to do something different from what you're already doing in order for you to improve or to change direction. You need to be moving. You need to be praying. You can't just say, I don't know why I'm late again. Well, look at what you're doing. What brought you to be late today? Something has to change. Why am I still falling? Maybe you're still hanging out with the same group of friends. Why do I always crave this thing? Maybe it's the movie that you're watching, that you keep watching. Something has to change. And it starts for us believers tonight, for the sake of this topic, it's prayer. There's many other things, but it starts with prayer. Because Jesus said, pray lest you fall into temptation. Again, another part is why we pray. I said it earlier. Jesus said, I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrow. That's why we need to be prayerful. That's why we need to be prayerful, because in this life, we will have trouble left and right. We will have trouble. It could be our health. It could be our marriage, it could be with our children, it could be with our work. Don't wait until you're in trouble. Sadly, for most of us, we wait for trouble. So hopefully this year, 2018, it'll be different. Hopefully you won't be insane thinking that if you keep doing the same thing, it'll change. That's like the government in the Philippines. Anyway, sorry, I might get in trouble there. Romans 7, 22 to 23. Number one, since we know why we need to pray, we need to be praying for ourselves. Temptations there, troubles there, we need to be praying for ourselves. Paul speaking in Romans, for in my inner self I delight in God's law. But I see a different law in the parts of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and taking me prisoner to the law of sin in the parts of my body. We can't do it. Christian life is impossible. And only when we surrender and admit to God that we can't do it, and we ask Him through prayer, Lord, help me, because I can't do this. I cannot resist this. I might fall here, Lord, without You in me. Lord, help me. It needs to be that sincere. If you're going to be honest, this is you too. This is us, right? It could be our rage. It could be our pride. It could be any other thing that is constantly, you're constantly struggling with yourself, with your flesh. So we need to be praying for ourselves. That's why we need to be praying. The next point is you need to pray. We need to pray for other believers. Knowing that in this life we will have trouble. Knowing that the temptation is great at many times. Knowing that the flesh is weak. We need to be praying for each other. Because your struggle, your brother and your sister are probably going through the same thing. That's why we need to be praying. This is one act, one practice that a Christian should always be doing, praying. The disciples did not do anything powerful or changing or life-changing without prayer. They were useless without prayer. They knew they needed to be praying because the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. We need to do the same thing. We need to be aware of that this year. Again, this is the first Sunday of the year. We need to know this. I pray that you will pray this with me. That we will be aware that we need to pray for each other. Not just this church, but all over the world. Some of you jump all over the world and you forget to pray here. There is prayer needed here. People are sick. People are needing comfort. People are needing protection. The spouses are getting attacked. Children are getting attacked. The next church is getting attacked. The missionaries are getting attacked. They need prayers. We all need prayers. In Ephesians 6:18, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions. Some occasions? All occasions. With all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying. Always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Paul never wasted his breath. Just like Jesus, he will not say anything that's not needed. Him saying this is because the Holy Spirit, God, is telling him to put this for this church and for us. We need to be praying in all occasions. We need to be raising our petitions to God. We need to be giving Him our requests all the time. Not just when you feel like it. Not just when you need it. All the time and on all occasions. The saddest thing is if we're having fun, if we're blessed, we forget to pray. The only prayer that we pray for is praying for the food. Especially a Southern Baptist, I think. A Filipino Southern Baptist especially, because we're always eating. That's the prayer that we never forget to pray. Lord, thank you for the food that we're about to eat again. All right? When you're blessed, you forget to pray. Then you wonder why God stopped the blessing. Because you were focused more on the blessing than the blesser. There's prayers that's needed. My prayer is that you will be prayerful this year. We will all be prayerful. Because God can't do anything here without us asking. He can, but He wants us to ask. Just like with us parents, we want to bless our children, right? We know how to bless our children. We just want them to ask because it's good for them to be humble, right? Children, you need to be humble. If you need something, we can't read your minds. Sometimes we think we can, or we say we do, but you need to humble yourselves and tell your parents what you need. Because you know what? We are more than happy to give it to you. That's how parents are. That's how parents are. And more importantly, God. That's how God is. Please turn your Bibles to Matthew 21:13. And he said to them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer. But you have made it a den of thieves. This is after Jesus comes into the temple and seeing all that it was being used as a marketplace more than a house of prayer. The people were robbing other people, cheating them, changing their prices, giving them different things. They'll pay for a healthy dove and the people will give them an unclean one. And Jesus, with his righteous anger, said, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. When you accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, we became the temple of the Holy Spirit. We became the temple of the Holy Spirit. So we should be a house of prayer. But we made it more about other things, right? We made it more about other things. How many hours are in a day? 24. You sleep 8. If you're like me, 4. You have 20 hours. You work. I'll give you 8. You have 12 hours. You watch a movie. 10 hours. How many in that remaining 10 hours have you actually had a conversation with God the Father, God who has given you everything? How much? You have nobody to pray for? Pray for all the believers. Look around you. Everybody needs a prayer. If they say no, they're lying. I covet your prayers. When I get a text, Pastor, I'm praying for you. I'm like, oh, thank you. Praise God. I get an email, thank you, Pastor. I'm praying for you. Thank you. I covet your prayers. We covet your prayers. My family covet your prayers. Because we are in the front line of attacks from the enemy. And same with you. I pray that we become prayerful. The next point tonight is we need to be surrendered to his will. In Luke 22:42, Father, Jesus speaking, knowing that he was going to go through the suffering, to die on the sin, to die on the cross, for our sins. This was his prayer. If you are willing. You see his humility here? He wasn't demanding. But he asked. Take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. When we pray, we need to be surrendered to God's sovereignty. We need to be okay with the fact that, yes, we presented our request, but it will be up to him if he will grant it or not. Because frankly, he knows better than we do, correct? As hard as that may be at times, especially when we're praying for somebody to get better, when they're sick, and we're wholeheartedly asking for the healing of our friend or our brother. But then we surrender and we say, not our will, but your will be done, Lord. Right? And we're sincerely praying for our children or our spouse that are in trouble. We ask, right? We don't claim. We don't declare. We don't dictate. God is not a genie. No pun intended. Genie if anymore. Sorry, I just thought about that. Sorry. God is not a genie. But some of us, we treat him as one. Right? That's not the kind of prayer what we're talking about here. We're talking about a mature prayer. Our hope, our goal in this church is for everybody to mature in our faith. That includes your prayer life. That you have to know that your prayer is not how you said it, how you ended it has nothing to do with that. God knows the heart even before we ask it. God already knows what we're going to ask for. He looks at the heart. If we were humble enough, sincere enough, and He knows that it'll be good for us, if it is according to His will, He will give it. Look at this. This is in 1 John 5:14 to 15. This is the confidence we have before Him. If we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Amen? Amen. If we ask everything or anything that is according to His will, He hears our prayers. And if we know that He hears whatever we ask, we know that we have what we have asked of Him. Amen? He hears your prayers. He hears our prayers. And if it is according to His will, there's no problem for Him to give it to us. There's no problem to give anything that we ask for. There really isn't. The problem is us on how we're going to handle it. If you bet on the lottery and you've been praying, right, for God to let you win, and you're like grumbling and like, oh my gosh, 25 years, Lord, I've been praying to hit the lottery and You still haven't given it to me. My goodness, what is wrong with You, Lord? I thought You created everything just by saying it. How come I can't hit that $70 billion? I'll buy the church for the churches. I'll help missionaries. Why can't You answer my prayers, Lord? I know it's ridiculous, right? But we prayed the prayer, right? We've all prayed the prayer. Oh, Lord, just let me hit this and I'll be more dedicated than before. We think we can sucker Him in, right? We think we can do that to God. We think we can manipulate God. And then you hear of the people that hit the lottery and they have, before hitting it, they have a happy family and then they won it and all of a sudden they got divorced, right? Even before they got the lump sum of their winnings, they die because they get into a car accident because they got that sports car they've been wanting. They beat all the red lights in Las Vegas and boom, dead. On the spot, right? I said this before. There was this one girl. Elderly lady. She hit the lottery for the first time. She had all the money, and she got the plastic surgery of the lifetime. She got the plastic surgery of the lifetime. She looked younger than her age. And as she was walking out from the mall with her Louis and everything else. Going to her Jaguar, she got run over. She died. She goes up to heaven, and then she goes to Peter. Peter, this is so unfair. I just got the lottery. I just got my plastic surgery. Why did God take me now? And this is Peter. Who are you? Peter couldn't recognize her. Come on. All right. You'll catch on. All right. Hey, it worked. Half of the church were laughing. Well, this is a sidebar. It's still in line, but a sidebar in a way. Why are prayers not answered? James 4:2-3, the first part of verse 2. Yet you don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it. See, God wants us to pray. God wants us to pray. That's why you don't have what you have, because you're not asking. Because you're using the verse, well, God knows what I want even before I ask it, so why do I need to ask it? Philosophical, right? See what they get you. You have to ask. We need to humble ourselves, for God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Next verse, you ask and don't receive because you ask with wrong motives. So that you may spend it on your pleasures. On your pleasures. That's what hitting a lottery is. That's what hitting a lottery is. Why do you need $70 million? Well, because, it won't hurt. Yeah. $70 million? Because you want to spend it on your own pleasures. You bet on Keno, 7 spots. Lord, just give it to me. Give it to me, Lord. 7 spots, 8 spots, 9 spots. I'm talking heavily on gambling here. Because most of the time, casinos are more prayerful than churches. Do you agree? Most of the time, there's more praying happening in the casino than in the church. For the wrong reasons, yes. But there's a lot more praying happening in the casino. Yes. I tell you, I used to work in the casino. I used to work in the casino, and that's the truth. You hear more about God in the casino and the poker table than anybody else. Oh, Lord, help me here, Lord. Give me the pocket aces, Lord. Pocket aces, Lord. We don't get because we ask to spend it on our own pleasures. The next one. On our third point, who will do it? Who will answer our prayers? Jesus. Whatever you ask in my name, I will do it so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. Again, that anything is not anything. It's anything that is according to his will, okay? I don't want you, because sometimes you guys just pick the words you like and then you go with it. Hopefully you hear me enough that it's silly to think that you can ask anything from God and he will give it to you, even the ones that you know is bad for you, even the ones that you know is going to take you away from him. Amen? What will you do with $1 million that's not going to take you away from him? Because for some of us, we just need a nice timeshare and we won't be at church. Right? What more? $1 million for some of us. Granted, there are many believers that have been blessed financially, but they have the maturity because God knows that they can handle it. Chick-fil-A, one of the most successful food chains, they are not open on Sundays. They are not open on Sundays because they are a believer. And there was one time that the owner, the CEO, the founder, said that he doesn't believe in gay marriage. And what did the LGBTWXYZ do? I said Zay. Z. They went and protested, right? And what did the churches in California do? They said, we're going to have a Chick-fil-A day. You know what happened to me and the Gosses and the Santoses and Jamie during that one time? We didn't know it was a Chick-fil-A day, but for some reason, Mr. Gosson here said, let's go to Chick-fil-A on our way to California. And then we were lined up in the parking lot like, oh my gosh, the food must be really good here. Not thinking, not knowing that it was the day that the churches agreed that we're going to honor Chick-fil-A for standing their ground. Even believers from Reno were brought there. We all didn't know. We just thought it was just, oh, well, this is good. And all people were friendly. They were all smiling. I'm like, oh my gosh, I love this place. Not knowing they're all believers. See, God can bless us. It's only us who will stop him. It's our hearts that prevents us from being blessed the way he wants us to bless. The way he wants to bless us. There's no limitation with God. It's us who limits him. It is us who limits him because we ask for the wrong things. Ask anything in my name and I will do it. Jesus will do it. Do you have Jesus? Do you have Jesus? We have one. All right. One's good. There's a party in heaven for one person, for one soul to accept Christ. Jesus will do it. If Jesus died on the cross for you to save you from the eternal fire, what do you think? He doesn't want to give you what you're asking for? Jesus has overcome the world, and so shall we. Please turn your Bibles to 2 Timothy 1:7. Turn to your right. 2 Timothy 1:7. It's after Thessalonians, I'm finding out. It's after 1 Timothy. First Timothy is in the New Testament. I'm running out of clues here. Verse 3. If you're there, say amen. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound and of a sound mind. But we can't get that if we are not intimate with God. And we can't have intimacy with God if we're not prayerful. You can't be intimate with your spouse if you're not talking, if you don't spend time with them. The close relationships that you have on this earth in your life are the ones are with the people that you spend a lot of time with. And if you're spending a lot of time with them, hopefully you're talking, not on your Facebook chatting with each other there, but you're face-to-face talking with them intimately. It's the same thing with our faith, with our spiritual faith. Are you prayerful? Because if you are, this is what Jesus said. If you are, because praying is equivalent to faith. See, it's not just because of prayer that God will change whatever he needs to change in your life. It's who you're praying to. Amen? And if you truly believe that God can do all things, that Jesus will do it, then that's your faith, right? You're holding on to that faith and you're praying, you're exercising your faith. And this is what Jesus said, be courageous, I have conquered the world. This is the second part when he told us that in this life we will have trouble. But be courageous, I have overcome the world. It's the same thing what Paul said in 2 Timothy. Courage is moving forward despite the fear that surrounds you. It's still taking that step forward. Courage is not the absence of fear. It's moving forward despite the presence of what you're fearing. Jesus said, be courageous. It's the same thing with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were told they were going to be thrown to that furnace if they did not worship the idol that Nebuchadnezzar made. They said, even if he doesn't save us, they said, our God will rescue us. But even if he doesn't, we will not worship your idol. That's courage. That's the courage we need. But you can't have that courage. You can't have that big size of a faith without starting on your knees and praying to him. So how's your prayer life last 2017? Again, if you're like me and you're good in paying those gym memberships and never going, you're still going to be out of shape. Not because you paid the fees, you got the membership, you're fit. Oh, Anytime Fitness, wear the shirt, but you're not fit because you're not going to the gym. Here's the bill, pay it. It's the same thing with our faith. You have the name tag of a Christian. You bought the t-shirt. You got the keychain. But if you're not doing the exercises specifically tonight, praying, you will not grow. You will not grow. Praying before you read your Bible. Praying for you to resist the temptations that will surround you the moment you step out of that door. Praying that you'll overcome the challenges that's facing you. Praying for other believers, because you won't have compassion if you're not praying for other believers. If you're still selfishly just praying for yourself, there's more room for growth. Because you know if you are struggling, other people are too. Every child of God can defeat the world. Are you a child of God? Then you can defeat the world. And our faith is what gives us this victory. No one can defeat the world without having faith. Again, in Jesus. Because praying shows your faith in him. Faith and prayer are together. It's just not pray for Paris. Right? When things happen in Paris, everybody changes their profile picture to pray for Paris. It's not the prayer for prayer's sake. It's to whom you're praying for or praying to. It's to whom you have your faith in. That's why you're praying. That's why your prayer is answered, because he can answer your prayers. Jesus can answer your prayers. That's why you're praying, because he can answer your prayers. That's why your prayer is effective, because Jesus is powerful. That's why your prayers are answered, because God allowed it and gave it to you and blessed you and gave you that grace. You prayed for healing, God healed you. It's not your action of prayer, because you could be praying to another God and not be answered. It's not the sincerity of that prayer to another God, because you can be sincerely wrong. But it's because of your prayer to Jesus Christ, who is powerful. And he said that he has overcome the world. That's why your prayer is answered. Amen? Again, it's not the amount of words. It's the sincerity of our prayer. It's not the action of prayer itself, but it's to whom we're praying to. Without having faith in Jesus as the Son of God, we can defeat the world. Amen? Again, going back to 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. You can only attain that realization if you're praying. So my prayer that this year, with this first Sunday, hearing this message, you'll be a prayerful believer. Amen? Amen. That said, let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you for your message tonight, Lord. I pray for your people here. Lord, I pray for blessings for them. Blessing, Lord, in regards to them knowing more of you. That the things that you have revealed tonight, Lord, will stay in their hearts and in their minds. That they will actually, Lord, exercise the gift of prayer. The privilege of praying to you, the God of the universe. Father, I know that we all have our problems and our needs, Lord. So I pray, Lord God, that if it is your will, Lord God, you will answer all our prayers. Father, we pray for healing for our brothers who are sick. Pray for comfort for those who are hurting, Lord God. Father, we know that we can't demand from you. We can only present our request to you. Lord, if it is your will, Lord, heal our brother who is sick. But thank you, Lord God, for healing our souls first. Lord, give us all the strength, Lord, that we need to tackle the temptations and the trials that we all face, or we will be facing this coming week. Father, give us all the wisdom, Lord God. Give us, all of us, the wisdom to know what to do and what not to do at any given situation, Lord. Lord, enable us to be victorious in trials that we face or challenges that we face that could cause people to stumble if we fall. Father, strengthen us, Lord. Give us that power to remove the lie of the enemy from telling us that we haven't changed, because we are a new creation with you. Father, we thank you for all the truth that you've revealed tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
That was a message from First International. You can access more by visiting our Facebook page, facebook.com/FICF Reno.